But all through the blood. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 29. Isaiah chapter 29. The name of the message is The Gospel Day. The Gospel Day. Isaiah 29. In every believer's life, there is a Gospel Day. There is a time in every single believer's life when our ears hear. When we hear the shepherd's voice through the preaching of his word. And in every believer's life, there's a gospel day, the same day as when we're given ears to hear, that we're given eyes to see Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look at Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19. And in that day, the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. In the Holy One of Israel. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace comes to God's saints, God's people, God's elect, not just in word, but also in power. Also in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. Look at Isaiah 29:18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see it out of obscurity and out of darkness. Now in these words we have the state in which the gospel finds those to whom it's addressed. John Gill says on this text, "This is the gospel day, or times of the gospel dispensation, when that should be preached to the Gentiles who were before death and should now be made to hear." See, every believer has a day when we're made to hear. We're made to hear. We're made to see. Gill continues and here, so to understand the doctrines contained in the Scriptures, the prophecy of them concerning the Messiah, even the words of that book, the Scripture, the words of the book, the Scriptures, that is sealed to the Jews and could not be read neither by the learned nor the unlearned among them, but should be both read, heard, and understood by the Gentiles, having ears given to them to hear the gospel, to receive its doctrines, and obey its ordinances. We will never see Christ. We will never hear His voice unless God the Holy Spirit moves and gives us ears to hear and eyes to see Christ. And when He does, oh, what a day. What a glorious day. Now those who the Lord Jesus Christ has called, those who He saved right now and those who He will save, but we who have been saved by Christ have had our eyes, which were once blinded by sin and depravity, opened. Opened. Is it not so? Was there not a time for every one of us who believe that we did not see Christ? That we did not care for the things of God? But now you love Him. Now He's the only one we want to look to. And how were our eyes and our ears opened? By the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of His Word. through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is why, again, it's absolutely vital. It's absolutely vital that we preach Christ. We must preach Christ and Him crucified. The Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the Word to draw sinners to Christ. Eyes and ears have been opened by the power of the Holy Spirit. The believer is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Called out of darkness to the marvelous light of the gospel. We saw that in our Colossians study. By the preaching of the gospel. The deaf and blind sheep of God are drawn out of darkness. Are drawn out of darkness, the darkness of our sin. Drawn out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see and hear those things which eye never saw, or ear never heard, or hath entered into the heart of natural man. We are, the believers, given eyes to see Christ and ears to hear the gospel, to hear the shepherd's voice through the preaching of His Word. And it's all by His grace. And it's all by the mercy of God. What would happen if there was no election? If God hadn't have chose to save a people, beloved, no one would be saved. But God in His mercy and in His grace has chosen to save a people. Now, it's not based upon anything in me, I'll tell you that. Because I don't deserve His mercy and grace. And I marvel. I marvel what we looked at this morning, the death of Christ. I marvel that He did that for me, a sinner. He died for my sins. I marvel. But yet this is what Scripture says. And I believe it. I've been given faith to believe. The eyes have been opened. The ears have been unplugged. They were deaf at one time to the things of God, to the things of Christ. Is it not so with you who believe? Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. We all know that in Adam we fell. When Adam fell, we were plunged into spiritual darkness, right? We know that. Dead in trespasses and sins and without hope. Ephesians 2 tells us that. It's very plain. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We're not inherently good. We're inherently evil. We're tainted by sin. Everything. Look at Matthew, though, 4:16. Look at this. The people which sat in darkness, and oh, what a darkness it was. And just think of us, beloved. We who are saved. Oh, the darkness that we sat in. The darkness of our sin. The people which sat in darkness, verse 16, saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we cry out with Isaiah. When the Lord reveals Himself to us, when the Lord unstops our ears and gives us eyes to see Christ, we cry out with Isaiah and say, woe is me! Woe is me! For I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So we see our own depravity and we see everyone else's depravity. But we're certainly not pointing out everyone else's sin because we're just going, oh my goodness, over our own sin. And what we are. For mine eyes. Now listen, how does the believer know that? How does he see that? Because mine eyes have seen the King in His holiness and in His righteousness. And I'm a man undone. Oh my. We do not receive the gospel in our natural state, as the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And I was there. I was there, beloved. And I know you who believe, I know you were there. Brother Tim and I have had many talks about how we were before the Lord saved us. And how we had no care for God. Or the things of God. Or the people of God. No care for our Savior. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So our text here says, in that day shall the deaf hear. That's the state of man. Deaf. And blind. The blind shall see out of obscurity. We're deaf and we're blind to the things of God. In our natural state. When we're born into this world, we're deaf and blind. And unless God moves in our life, we'll remain deaf and blind to the things of God. But praise be to God. He's chosen to save some. He's chosen to save His people from their sins. The second point we see in our text is a recovery to a better and happy condition. Look at this. In that day, the deaf shall hear and the blind shall see. In that day, in the gospel day, at God's appointed time. And this happens in every believer's life. Sister Kathy, there was an appointed time when you heard the shepherd's voice. It's incredible. It's incredible. When God's appointed time for the believer to hear the shepherd's voice, he or she will hear the shepherd's voice. This is why we can preach with confidence, knowing the confidence is in the Lord, not in anything we do, but that the Lord will use His Word to accomplish His will, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. In that day though, oh, in the gospel day, the deaf shall hear and the blind shall see. His sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. And what happens? They will look right to Christ. They will look right to Christ. Isaiah 29:18. And the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Oh, the dead spiritually. What happens? The dead spiritually are made alive. They're made alive in Christ, in Him alone. In Adam, again, we all died spiritually. But in Christ Jesus, we're made alive. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. Look at this marvelous portion of Scripture here. Mary Bell's dad, the Lord used these verses here to save him. He'd been going to church for years and years and years and years at Lantana. And one day, he heard the shepherd's voice, and the Lord Jesus Christ, Redeemer, opened his ears, opened his eyes, and unstopped his ears. And this is the very portion that the Lord used. Look at this, John 5, verses 24 to 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, so the deaf are made to hear. The deaf are made to hear. He that heareth my word, and believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life. There's another one of those little hinge words that we like. Hath. It's not a maybe. It's not dependent upon us. Hath eternal life. And shall not come into condemnation. Beloved, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Oh, wonderful words. But look at this. But is passed from death, spiritual death, unto life, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this. And this, I was reading John Gill on this even this afternoon. And John Gill says, this is the dead spiritually hearing the shepherd's voice through the preaching of the gospel. Look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, look at this marvelous words here, they that hear shall live. In that day, in the gospel day, for the believer in Christ. In that day, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's no doubt. They shall live. Look at this. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And in verse 27, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. He has all power and all authority. Oh, what glorious truth we have here set before us. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Shall live. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life in Him. He has all authority, all power. And He reigns in heaven right above. Right this second. In this second. And all the way into eternity. He rules and reigns right now. He's a king. Triumphant. Upon His throne. My goodness. What a God. 1 Peter 2. Verses 9 and 10 says this about God's people. About those who were dead and hear the voice of the Son of God. But ye are a chosen generation. It's not a maybe, is it? But ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. And holy nation. A particular people. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Oh, what darkness we were in. Into His marvelous light. And then 1 Peter 2:10 says this, which in times past were not a people. There was a time when we were not His people. Now, we didn't know we were His people. We were enemies with Him in our minds. He knows who His sheep are. But in our minds, we were alienated from God, enemies in our minds by wicked works, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy. But now, have obtained mercy. Brother Dick, you obtained mercy. Mercy. We didn't get what we deserve. We obtained mercy. And what happens to the believer? What happens to the believer when God reveals Himself as who He is? We see our sin as it is. I'm a sinner to the core. I'm a saved sinner. I stand before you a saved sinner, but I'm a sinner. But praise be to God, I'm a saved sinner. The believer is showing our lost and miserable state before God. And we see the way of salvation is in Christ and Him alone. Now we have revealed to us the glorious truth of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our blind eyes have been opened. And our deaf ears now hear. Why? Because of the wondrous works that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, has done within us. See, it's nothing we do. I obtain mercy. If you're here tonight and you're saved, it's only because of what God's done. You've obtained mercy. It's humbling, isn't it? It really is. But we have it no other way. Once you hear gospel preaching of the free grace of God, it ruins you for anything else. I don't want to hear anything else. But that my Savior did everything for me. That I have no ability of my own to save myself because I can't. Salvation is of the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Salvation's of the Lord. And what happens to the believer? We give all praise and glory and honor to God. Again, because He's the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 is one of the most clear portions of Scripture. To me, that just screams out that salvation is of the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will give you spiritual eyes to see this, because in our natural state, we can't see this. I never saw this before. The Lord saved me. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So it can't be any plainer that all spiritual blessings are in Christ, right? It's not in our doing. And it's not in us, because there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Scripture plainly declares that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now, we could go all through election, redemption, propitiation, atonement. All those spiritual blessings are in Him. They're nowhere else. Salvation's of the Lord. And look at this. According as He hath chosen us in Him, who did He choose us in? Christ. When did He do that? Before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame. Without blame? Sinners? Yeah. Sinners presented before God, a holy and righteous God, without blame. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Before Him in love. Look at this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. According to, you know, people like to pop off about man's will. Look at what Scripture says very plainly right here. Why are we saved? Why are we predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself? Why? According to the good pleasure of His will. God's will. God's will. In whom, being Christ, we have redemption. Everything that God demanded for the sins of all His people, Christ paid it. Redemption's nowhere else. It's not anything we do. It's only in Christ. In whom we have redemption. How? Through His blood. Through the shedding of His blood. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ in the place of His people. Do you remember that missionary we looked at this morning? And the chief? He swapped places with me. It's so simple. He died as my substitute. He took my place. The sinless one took the place of the sinner right here. Oh my. Oh, what a great God we have. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Look at this. The forgiveness of sins. How many? All of them. And again, you know, you've heard me say this many times. Folks say, well, surely you can't be talking about your future sins. And we always say, all my sins were future at Calvary's cross. And either He paid for them all, or He didn't pay for any of them. But praise be to God. He paid the price demanded of all my sins. And the love of Christ constrains us from sin, doesn't it? That's why we don't go crazy. That's why. Now, we're still sinners, though. We admit it. I always have to laugh when people... I don't hear it very much anymore since the Lord showed me grace. But when I was in religion, and I understand why. Even my mom said this to me. I understand why, because I was such a Pharisee and so judgmental of other people and what they were doing without knowing who I was. Like I told you guys this morning, I could talk doctrine, I could sit down and talk about the Greek texts and all that with people, but I didn't know any grace. I didn't know grace at all. It was all head knowledge. And my mom one time said, "Oh, you guys just think you're holier than thou." Now, back then, I understand why she said that. Because I was pointing the finger at everybody else and saying, how can they be a Christian and do that? How can they? But you know, when the Lord shows you grace, you just shake your head when people say that. I don't hear it much anymore, like I say, because grace people, we know what we are. We know who we are. But my goodness, we're just sinners saved by the grace of God in Christ. And look at this. The forgiveness of sins. Why? According to the riches of His grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us. Oh, beloved, His grace hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known unto us. Oh, remember the gospel day? And in that day, right? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Okay, look at this. Heaven made known unto us. Oh, the gospel day for the believer. When He makes known, He makes Christ known to us. The mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. According to the good pleasure of God. He does whatever He pleases. According to the good pleasure of God, which He hath purposed in Himself. He didn't seek any counsel with anyone. He didn't need to. He's God. The way some people talk about God, He's up there, like you've often heard me say, wringing His hands and He can't do nothing. Oh, He's... No. Our God is absolutely sovereign. He does whatsoever He pleases. And I thank God that He had mercy on me. Don't you, beloved? Don't you who believe? Thank God that He had mercy on you. And He didn't leave us where we were. Oh, my. That He made known the mystery of His will. That He revealed Christ to us. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one. We're one body in Christ. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. See again, it's always in Christ. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, being God, who worketh all things, what? After the counsel of His own will. He does as He pleases. Now why? Why does He do this? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Trophies of the grace of God. My goodness. They shall hear the words of the book, is what we look at. Let's go back to our text in verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. What is the book whose words are wondrous and delightful? Is it the book of nature? Well, as beautiful as nature is, it gives little or no instruction on spiritual subjects to those whom sin has covered with its dark and overwhelming shade. Nature shows us that there is a Creator, but it can never answer the question that Job asked. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? It can never answer that. Never. You look at it and you think, it couldn't just be by, it couldn't just came into existence. But it can never answer the question, how can a man be just with God? Is it the book of human philosophy and arts and sciences? No. Scripture declares in 1 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21, where is the wise? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Turn, if you would, to Romans 16. Romans 16. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 16, 26, the answer to the question, what is this book? It's the Scriptures. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel, in the preaching of Jesus Christ, we preach Christ and Him crucified. In this book, right? Old and New Testament, we preach Christ and Him crucified. In the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now it made manifest, what? And by the Scriptures of the prophets. The Word of God. The Word of God. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, And then he wraps it up to the to God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And then 2 Timothy 3:15 says this, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The gospel, beloved, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not to the whole world, eh? That was evident today, this morning, when we looked at He came to save His people from their sins. Now, I don't know who the elect of God are, and neither do you. And we preach, though, and God does the saving. God does the saving. And I talked to John last week. We were talking about, you know, election should never keep you from Christ. People use the excuse, well, maybe I'm just not one of the elect. I'm going to just... No, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptance. We're to flee to Christ. We're to flee to Him. And the elect will, because they're made willing. It's marvelous. It's incredible. The gospel, beloved, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And this is why we preach the gospel. This is why we preach Christ and Him crucified. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Jesus Christ is the only hope for blind, deaf, spiritually dead sinners. I know personally. I'm looking at a scripture to preach in a maybe next week or the week after. Comfort ye my people. The only way I can comfort God's people is if I've experienced that too. And gospel preachers have. We've been saved. Just like I can't tell you about somewhere that I've never gone to. Right? Oh, this was me. I was one of the deaf who now hear. I was one of the blind who now see. I was one of the one taken from darkness into light. And it's all by Christ. It's all by His free and sovereign grace. It's all by the mercy of God in Christ. He has given me ears to hear and eyes to see. Oh my. Now the third and last point that we'll look at, we see in verse 19 of our text. The results which this brings to the believer. Look at Isaiah 29:19. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Meekness. The meek. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we can muster up. I'll tell you a story. I think I've told you before, but it's well worth repeating. When I was in religion, Vicki came up to visit me. Spend a couple of weeks, I think it was the first time we met. And did you bring that picture up with you? Yeah, she brought a picture up that she had drawn for me. And she named it meekness. Meekness. And I'll tell you, she gave me this picture and she said, "I wanted to tell you I drew this picture for you because it reminds me of you because you're so meek." I was going around the store I worked in. My fiance called me meek. I wasn't meek anymore. I was so full of pride. Not that I was even meek before that. Oh, my. My. Meekness is quiet strength. And only the Lord can give us that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And when God saves the sinner in saving power, He humbles us. He humbles us. And He makes us meek. We don't know it. We don't see it. The meek are men and women who see themselves. Now, what is a meek person? A meek person is someone who sees themselves before God as they really are. Sinner. Undeserving grace and mercy. But yet, God has mercy upon my soul. And And what do we see that causes us to be like that? The holiness of God. The holiness of God. Scripture declares this in Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now we tremble at the word of God. And we fear and we fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But it's not a fear. It's not a fear like when you're scared. It's a reverent fear, beloved. We're in awe of the holiness. It's not a slavish fear. It's a reverent fear. We're in awe of who God is. We're in awe of His holiness. We're in awe of His righteousness. We're in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in awe that God became a man. We're in awe that Christ died for the sins of His people. And we're in awe at the holiness of God that Christ had to die for His people. For that holiness to be satisfied. For that justice to be satisfied. And what does it do for the sinner who looks to Christ? Oh, it puts us in the dust. And aren't we grateful? don't we like Lee when he came before Grant, they said the Confederates were laying down their arms. The soldiers were laying down their arms. Lay down your arms before God. If you haven't surrendered, lay them down. That's what the believer does. He just lays his arms, takes side with God against himself. Oh, we lay down our arms before God. We've been given eyes to see who God is. And we've also been given eyes to see who we are. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. Psalm 51:17. Psalm 51:17. So who are the meek? They are the ones who see their sin before God in His holiness. And they're humbled by it. We see the filth of our own self-righteousness. We attribute our whole salvation to the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ and in Him alone. God's people submit to the providence of God in their lives. We do not envy those who are above us. We do not despise those who are below us. Not that any are below us, because we're all sinners saved by grace. There's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. None at all. There's only one head. That's Christ and Him alone. We think the worst of ourselves and the best of others. And only the Holy Spirit can make a person meek. And Scripture declares, blessed are the meek. Another result of the Lord saving us is we joy in the Lord. Look at the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So who do we joy in? Christ. Christ and Him crucified. At one time we found joy in the world. We found joy in the flesh. But now we find joy in Christ, the Lord our righteousness. We find joy in the greatness of His person. We find joy in the greatness of His grace. We find joy in the greatness of His salvation. We find joy in the greatness of His promises. They shall increase in their joy. Sometimes our spiritual joy is interrupted by our own corruption and sin. by the temptations of Satan, sometimes by our own flesh. But all the joy when we look to Christ. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. Psalm 51:14. Song of Solomon 3:5. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till He pleases. Oh, the believer joys in the Lord. Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me into the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Oh, what a King! What a Savior! Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and He came to save His people from their sins. And He is a successful Savior, and He accomplished what He set out to do. He came to live the perfect life that we never could, and He fully satisfied the justice and wrath of God and the law of God in our place. And He was made an atonement for the sins of His people on Calvary's cross, paying all that was demanded of us. It was extracted from Him. My goodness. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our sins are imputed to Christ, and His righteousness is imputed to us. The great transfer. And now, beloved, He rose from the grave after He cried, "It is finished," and they buried Him in a tomb. And He rose from the grave. And He entered He entered heaven triumphantly. A King! Oh! And the angels cried out. Could you imagine what that was like? When He returned to glory, triumphant, the God-man. Oh my. And now He rules and reigns in heaven, the advocate of His people, seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, does this not bring the believer joy? And our hope is, if you do not know Christ, that the Holy Spirit would make you willing. That this may be your gospel day, if it so pleases the Lord. That He give you ears to hear and eyes to see, as our text proclaims. Oh, that it would be the gospel day for one of God's lost sheep. Oh, we pray, Lord, if it's Your will. And we bow humbly. We who've been saved bow humbly. And we adore the Lord Jesus Christ. We adore Him that there was a day, that there was a gospel day for us. That there was a day when He gave us eyes to see. And ears to hear. And what does the believer say? Praise Your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Praise Your mighty name. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, we just marvel that You left the glories and splendors of heaven to become a man, to be despised and rejected, to die upon the cross, to rise again for the sins of Your people. And now You are seated at the right hand of the Father, and You reign and rule in majesty and power. And we know one day You shall return. Oh Lord, we glorify You and magnify You. We pray that You'd use this message for Your glory and for Your honor. And may You receive all the praise. And we love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.